Hey, let's just take a moment before we go into God's word to pray for Afghanistan, and not only Afghanistan, but all of the fallout that's going to ensue from that, because this is not going to easily go away. And do we know how it's going to end? No, but God does. And we need to rest in Him, not be moved by things we see and hear. The things that are seen, remember, are what? Temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. And God has got a plan not only for Afghanistan, for the men and women that are over there giving their lives right now, for our freedom to sit here today, to the people that are over there trying to get out, to the people over there that had nothing to do with being there, except for the fact that they were born there, like every one of us being born in some place. So we need to lift them up. We are living in a land of milk and honey right now. So, Father God, we do come before you, and it's at times overwhelming, Father, what's going on. The men and women that already gave their lives, Father, for all the years, but especially right now, we pray for them, Father, eternally. We pray for their families, for the husbands, the wives, the children, the mothers, the fathers. We are so intertwined, Lord. So we ask you to bring your peace upon them right now, and an assurance that even though it looks like it's spinning out of control, Father, you know exactly. You hold this world in your hands. So, Lord, we just ask that each and every one of us in our own way might, during the course of the time that we have every day, just stop for a moment. Look to you, pray to you, Father, not wanting understanding totally, not understanding every little thing that we see, but just believing, Father, that you are going to bring this to fruition one way or the other. So we bow before you, God that made the heaven and the earth, God who sees all, knows all. Help us to try today to just get that much closer to you, Father, in our walk. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll try. You know, I'm sure like most of you, I'm overwhelmed, you know, by what's going on and what's going to come down the pike. And I sure want to be like the worship team said. So I want to be overwhelmed in Him. Overwhelmed with the love that He's got for each and every one of us. Love in an overwhelming fashion that would get us through anything. So I hope and pray today that what I feel that the Lord has been showing me throughout this week as we study Philemon, that we can all take it, apply it in our lives the way that God would have us to do. And truly walk in it, not just walk out and forget what we hear today. We're so good at that, though, aren't we? Myself included. We hear it. We amen it. We say, yes, that's what I'm going to do. And then Tuesday morning comes, and I'm pushing jelly donuts in my face. You know, I say that loosely so nobody feels like I'm picking on them, unless you had a jelly donut in mind. Cheesecake, though, comes close. I want to get started. Turn to Psalm 118. You know, lately I've felt that before I can go into the text that we're in, I just feel God trying to put something else in my head. You know, we all sit and we read the word and we try to understand the word and we try to put it in a way that we can almost stick it in our back pocket and walk along. But we have to understand that there's some things that we're never going to understand. There's some things that we just need to believe and trust in God. And I feel that these two were something that He gave me when I was questioning all week long. You have it applied the way you would have it. But we're looking at Psalm 118. I wanted to just look at verse 8 and 9, but I started to think about Psalm 118, and every verse says something about the Lord. Every verse in here points to Him. You read the whole thing when you have that time. And I also know that, and some of you do, this is the middle verse, 8 and 9, 8 is, of the Bible. How do you get that? Well, there's like 31,700 verses in the Bible. This, if you do what whoever did this, is 15,500 and something. So it's kind of the middle verse. It's that middle book, if you would. It's that middle psalm. And what's in the middle? It's a balance point. It's something that if you're right in the middle, your balance should be sturdy. And I thought it also interesting that right after the middle verse of the Bible, we have the longest verses in the Bible, Psalm 119. Is God trying to tell us something? When we read 118 this week, I'd ask us, just turn the page before you run out and do whatever it is you might be doing, or sit there and think about whatever it is you might be thinking. Turn to 119 and quietly just read it. Don't ask for any, oh, what does that mean? What is that? Oh, I know. Just read it and let God bathe each one of us in His grace. Psalm 118 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. Let all of Calvary Chapel now say that His mercy endures forever. I couldn't hear anybody over in Israel this morning saying that, so I wanted to hear you and I say that. Do we really believe that? Do we understand that? Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endures forever. Let them that now fear the Lord say that His mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. Verse 5, everyone, as I look around here, I'm sure there is one form or another of distress in our minds at least. And I'll tell you, you know, it's just a trickle-down theory. If it's up here, it's eventually going to work its way down to here. And once it gets to here, that distress builds up to a point that some are not able to handle it. And it comes back up out of our mouths and our actions through our hands. And I pray that this week, whatever it is, I've got my distress. I know you got yours, you've got yours. The psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. A large place, room to grow, room to move. The Lord takes my part with them that help me, therefore I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. Verse 8 is the key to the whole thing today in Philemon that I feel I've been shown at least. And when you go into your quiet space with the Lord, I hope He shows you what's going to be pertinent, what's going to be necessary to get by Monday. You know, sometimes we worry about what about Thanksgiving? You know, just using that as a, tomorrow is going to come with problems of its own, the Word tells us. Therefore, we need to look to Him today in His mercy. We need to look to Him in His grace so that in our distress we can cry to Him and know that He's not going to leave us abandoned. It is better, verse 8, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why is that in the middle of the Bible? Why is that? Have you seriously sat and thought about that? I mean, there's a lot of other verses that could have been in there right in the middle. And I just started thinking, why, Lord? And I just felt that He's saying, because I want you to trust me. Trust. What's trust? Trust is a confidence, isn't it? In someone or something. Trust is an understanding of that person. I trust my wife completely. Amen. I trust Bruce incompletely. I don't know him that well yet. I know Bruce and I trust him, you know. Bear with me in my foolishness, because I could have used Aaron. He thought that was funny. But you can't trust someone that you don't know. You can't. I mean, you could be foolish and do that. And me being an ex-cop from New York, there were guys on the street corner that would tell you, hey, I got this Rolex for $100. want to buy one? And people trusted these people. Yeah. And all it was a Walmart special. You can't trust someone that you don't know. How do you learn that trust? By spending time with somebody. The more time we spend, the more we feel them, the more we see their heart, we understand what's going on, and a process called trust begins to come in. But yet with the Lord, I see this waning in my life, and I won't pick on anybody else. If it's in yours, then you apply that to whatever your name might be. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9 needs to go in there too, because it says it's better to trust in the Lord again than to put confidence in princes. We don't have many princes right now, but we have administrations, don't we? Mm-hmm. We have people that are, in a sense, authorities over us that we trust implicitly. We don't ask a question. We march to it as if our lives depended upon it. And I'm not putting in anything that somebody can say, I'm this or I'm that, but you put in what you obey without question, without critically thinking, what is going on here? What am I being sold? What am I being told? And we do it, and God is saying, Doug, it's better to trust in me. But how will I know? How will I know if what I'm trusting, if it's right, if it's wrong, if it's going to cause, what if I don't take this? Am I not going to be able to buy or sell? What if I don't do that? What if I don't put something on? Am I going to be able to go? Why are we so worried? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, we're to obey all authorities over us. So my feeling is I don't like a mask. I hate it. I've got asthma. Anybody else got asthma? You ever try to breathe with a mask on at this altitude with asthma? It's rough. I got a punctured lung from the moose that stopped me. It makes it even worse. But I'll put that mask on because it's an authority over me that says, wear a mask in here. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'll step into that situation, not trusting the mask or the sign on the door, trusting my God, not my opinion, not what I might think. And today I want to see through Philemon and Onesimus that we have the grace to endure whatever comes our way. The grace to endure. Jake, I don't know if you're putting titles on stuff anymore. I heard you might be. The grace to endure. But that grace to endure only comes with trust in the one who issues that grace, the one who has the power to fulfill that grace through my trust in him. What a balance. What a balance. Turn to Matthew 24. I don't think we're even going to get to the sermon. I got that feeling today. Matthew 24. And here's what causes us in our time right now to not trust, to not depend on that grace that he's trying to constantly shower on us. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. You know, we're kind of enamored by flash, aren't we? You know, look at that house, look at that car, oh, look at that guy, oh, look at that girl, oh, look at those clothes, oh, look at that haircut. Well, I mean, we try to be like the world when we should be conformed to his image. You know, I don't mean this to be anything political. I was thinking about that before, you know, like we show things because we love it. We like that. Oh, look how beautiful all this. Remember Hillary Clinton? This is not political. Remember everybody when she was in, they wanted the Hillary Clinton hairstyle. Had nothing to do with the politics. People thought I could look pretty good looking like that. And then we've got that all the way down through the ages that people just are flashed by the things that our eyes take in. So here's the disciples doing that. And Jesus said unto them, you see not all these things? And I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The things of this earth are moving quickly and they're going. There's going to be something called a new heaven and a new earth that's coming, created by Christ wherein dwells righteousness. Do I trust that? That's like God said it. Do I trust it? Or do I question it? And he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, and this is us, we want to know. I want to know, I lost my job, how is it going to come out? I lost my wife, how is this going to come out? I lost my daughter, what's going on? I lost my dad, what's happening? We want to know. There's nothing wrong with these guys asking a question. But they said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, and we all know this. This is the answer. This is, take heed that no man deceive you. We are filled with deception every inch around us these days. The truth is very small. The deception is quite large. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall, I don't know if you watch TV. This is all that's on, except if you watch some other channels, they teach you how to plant tomatoes, and that's news, news. And where there's going to be a big special down in Denver someday. There are people dying right now. There are people standing up to their knees in human waste, waiting to find some kind of freedom. And yet I sit there and go about my little ways, and the Lord is saying, you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Ethnos against ethnos is the Greek word. Kingdom against kingdom, and there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places and floods. He tells us also, look what's going on in the world. Oh, is this the end? And please, this is not date setting. I am not date setting. I'm just saying that this is through God's grace what he has been giving us so that we might trust him when these times come. All these are the beginning of sorrows. If what we're going through now is only the beginning of sorrows, how will we prevail in the days, weeks, months, or whatever we might have? How are we going to prevail without begging God through prayer, pour your grace on me, please, Lord. I'm not deserving of it, but grace. Trusting him when we get finished praying for those things that we have need of, trusting him. Well, though we don't see it, knowing that he has got this, it's going to come to pass. So you take that, read it again yourselves, and see what God is showing you. I hope he'll show something powerful that will pull us through our next encounter with worry, fear, doubt.
You're going to leave love there?
Come on up, sister.
You at least need to go.
Okay, let's hear it. Give it a read.
This
is how it's like at home, too. So don't worry. This is
now
nothing.
You need to read it because
my mic?
On the speaker.
Oh, she needs the mic.
Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm till the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come.
Thank you, Ma.
It doesn't sound good.
Let's turn to Philemon. I really did want to do Matthew 24, 1 through 13, but I thought in the essence of time I was going to end there. But thank you, because that is part of what we're going to be talking about, enduring to the end, the grace to endure. You know, it doesn't pay at all to give up in the middle of the race. It doesn't pay right when you're right at the finish line. Instead of leaning into it, just stepping back and watch everybody go by. So verse 13 of Matthew 24, as Ma just read, is going to be a key for each and every one of us. So we're in Philemon, and I looked and I saw the very end, you know, and I'm praying that you read this too. You know, it's 25 short verses, and I was attracted on 25 again this week. You know, Paul says, and it's a common greeting of Paul's. He always said, the grace of the Lord be with you, grace and peace be to you. But this one was a little bit different. He said, the grace, and now please, and I hope, it might, I didn't read it in NIV this week or another translation, but in the King James, it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That I think that's important. So I'm going to repeat it again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That one just, you know, and I started looking in now. Yeah, I'm not going to get into, does man have a spirit before he's born? Yes, you know, God breathed into our nostrils, and that represents that spirit and everything. But God isn't in everybody until we receive him, answer his call to us. But what Paul is saying to Philemon, and I feel, you know, we can question this. The grace of our Lord Christ be with your spirit. Whose spirit? Philemon's spirit? Could be. Could be his son or his wife that we've learned that this is being addressed to. Could be his whole house, the people that live within it. Could be to the church that's in his house. Pretty confusing, isn't it? But if we just take it on simplicity, I feel today that the Lord is saying this to us with our spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in me, that God is saying, my grace is in you. It's not just going to come down or... He's already poured that out by the Holy Spirit. So it's not the grace that I might be able to muster up. Some of us can be very gracious during the course of an event, can't we? We can put on the good Christian filter face, smile, and say the right things, and we seem gracious, but inside our head is going, that wasn't even tongues, but that's what you've said, and I've said before. Not that grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I want that to just work on us. I want it to work on me. What is that grace? What is his grace that he wants in my spirit for these days? And that's trust. And I don't think we'll get to it today, but that grace is, it's dwelling in us. It's a grace that, do I understand it? No. Do I believe it? Yeah. What part of it, though, is the question in your life, in my life? What part am I going to believe? Is you fill in the blank going to work out for good, even as bad as it is, because through God's grace, he said it? I want to get to that point. I want us as a body of Christ, a body of believers, to get to that point so that we can step outside these doors, stop just sitting in here, and show that grace to one more person out there. That Christ is desiring for all the trust that husbands, wives, children, parents, families have lost. I think God wants us to show people, you can trust me. What I'm saying to you is going to come to pass. Turn to Romans 5. So this is not my grace. It's the grace of Jesus Christ dwelling in me by the Holy Spirit. And I'd ask, if the Holy Spirit isn't dwelling in you, the Word of God says if the Spirit of Christ isn't dwelling in you, we're none of his. See, there's no black and white. There's no maybe. There's no half and half. You are either a saint or you ain't. And I've said that before. The Spirit of God is something that he wants to place into each and every one of us. He's not worried who we were, who, what we did, where we've been, what we're... He wants to change us into the likeness and image of him by understanding him. What does Jeremiah 9 says? Let's put your neighbor's knee in there. I haven't said that one in a while. I think it's Jeremiah, isn't it? That one just, yeah. You don't have to turn. Jeremiah 9, 23, thus saith the Lord. You know, this isn't Doug. Do I believe this? Do I trust him? Do I understand that it's God speaking to my spirit right now, and he wants this grace in me, as Paul ended, for forgiveness, for reconciliation, for the runaway slave that's in here today, for the one that, you know, feels that we've done too much for God to love us. He wants this to be in us. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Do you know him? This grace and trust is going to be impossible without knowing. And remember where I started. How do I get to know God? I can't see him. You spend time with him in his word, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. You can't trust somebody you don't know. Get to know him is where I'm going with that. So I don't know where I went off, but Romans 5, pull your neighbor's knee out of there and let's get back to it. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is God's grace that I'm talking about. This is the peace that he wants us to have. This is the trust that he wants in each and every one of us who are called by his children. How many of us, remember when, I wish, you know, where's Eden?
Oh,
she's in the back. Some of you might have been here. Do you remember the day that you were so scared, so worried, and Dad came along, and you were only this big, and he reached down his hand, and he wrapped that. My dad was a house painter, and he had hands and arms that looked like legs and feet, but he would wrap that hand around you, little finger, and you would just walk around like you were King Tut, right? Now, nothing bothers me. Nothing's a worry. Nothing's a fear. This is what God wants from each one of us today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have access by faith into this grace. That's what we're talking about, God's grace that is dwelling in us. It's not like, and if you haven't asked him to be your Lord and Savior, ask him today, and that Holy Spirit that we're talking about comes into us immediately. We don't have to earn anything. We don't have to do anything. He did everything right there. For you and for me, the vilest of the vile, some of us, he did it already. We stand because I feel there's a time coming. You know, God is going to shake everything that can be shaken, so that which can't be shaken will remain. And shaking is hard to stand, isn't it? God is wanting us to stand in these times that are coming through his grace and our trust in him. And rejoice, not only stand, but rejoice, not complain. What's the Wisconsin statement, Robbie?
Wouldn't be happy if you weren't complaining.
If Wisconsinites aren't complaining, they ain't happy. He grew up there, I don't know. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, do we? We are in distress, some of us right now. We've got some tribulations going on, and that's trials, troubles. It's not the great one yet or anything. But we all have these, and it says that we glory in tribulations. I said, well, really? Now, it's not like, oh, thank you for this broken leg. God, I'm so happy. You know, no, it's not that. It's what are you trying to show me, Father? Slow down a little bit, maybe. How come so-and-so had to go out of my life? That's a tribulation, and I'm supposed to glory in that. Why did our favorite pets have to go? Let's bring it down to simplicity. We don't cheer that on, but we know God's got something else going on. Also knowing that tribulation, that trial that we go through in our lives, whatever it might be, God has a purpose for it. It works patience. That means I won't freak out like I normally do. I won't be that crazy New York Irishman that some people used to know that are here and love me still. I'm going to have patience. I'll slow down a little bit. And once I get that patience, then I have an experience. See, God puts us things through things so that I'm not going to worry about that next one. He got me here today through all of those tribulations, through all of those trials, to just have some patience, he's saying, and that works experience. Experience means, okay, look where he got us. What's that? What's the statement? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. Every one of us has been in a tailspin worrying about tomorrow. And here we are right now Why? Because hopefully we've experienced God's grace. We've experienced that we can trust Him. We've experienced that He's a man of His word. So God's got a purpose in what's going on around us right now, just like He had. I don't want to lose Philemon. I got one more minute till noon, and then I'll start. Remember Philemon. And when we get to, you know, Paul is saying, Philemon, I hope that the grace of our Lord is in your spirit to forgive this man, to reconcile everything that's been done. Do we have that same understanding that Paul had when he did that? But we can't do it without the experience. We can't do it without experience, because experience then brings us hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Not our love for Him, let's say, but His love for us. I need to understand this. This is more grace. Oh, we throw, you know, you're saved by grace. And that's, I shouldn't say that. You're saved by grace through faith. That's a gift of God. It's not anything you and I work up. Wow. But I want us to see that this grace, if the Holy Spirit, it's there already. God's just saying, He's saying, let it go, let it out. He has a plan. And we will, through that, endure to the end. Can I have
one more?
One more. Trust. How can I endure to the end of my life? What I see, what's coming in my schedule this week, the problems that are assailing me, the people that are trying to do me harm, people who have other plans and designs. I'm speaking for some of you also. How can I do it? The only way I can do it is trust. Trust in the Lord. It might seem like a rabbit trail, but I felt the Holy Spirit this week silently presenting trust through Onesimus. What? So Onesimus, remember way back when we started, he's a slave in the house of Philemon. This was a man that ran away because he stole something from Philemon. I don't know, commentators say that. But he was a runaway slave. He stole some stuff. He ran away and got saved and secure, being in Rome with Paul now, and all of a sudden, Paul hands him this letter and says, go on back to the house of Philemon and deliver this for me. Can you imagine what was going through Onesimus' heart at that time and mind? You want me to do what? Go back from where I ran away? You want me to go back to a place that I was a slave? You want me to go back? What's going to happen if he doesn't forgive me? What's going to happen? Will I be a bad example to other slaves? Will other slaves try to run away? Do we see the intricate weaving that God is doing in here? And all Paul was saying through the Holy Spirit to Onesimus when he did that was, trust God. Trust Him. And ended it in that verse 25, asking Philemon that the grace of God for all of this will be in your spirit. Not what you think, not what you feel, not what you might be able to muster up on a Sunday, but God's grace dwelling in us minute by minute. Paul made a statement, and I wonder if it's mine. In Philippians, Paul said, oh, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection. What was the power of His resurrection? Have you really, and think of that. That I might know Him. This was His request. Is it mine? In grace and trust. It's the point we're trying to hit. I want to know the power of His resurrection. So the Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ raised Him from the dead. Oh, we all say we know that. So can't He bring me through a little water problem? Can't He bring me through a little financial problem? Can't He bring me through a little bitterness problem and unforgiveness? I want to know Him in that kind of power. That's trust. The fellowship of His suffering. I use that one lightly when I say that. I want to know Christ in a way, as I look at His life, that I would have a fellowship in that kind of suffering. He died for me while I was yet a sinner. He died for me. Do I want to really know that for others? The fellowship of his suffering. It was for all of us, wasn't it? It wasn't just for one individual. Oh, no, not this one. I want to know that. I want to trust that part of my life, that if I get to know him, I'm going to see that fellowship in my suffering, that it has an outcome. A lot of us here have lost loved ones, haven't we? There's fellowship in that. Think of God, what he lost when he gave us Jesus Christ. That's a pain. The only thing that's going to get us through those pains is knowing Christ, knowing his grace that got him resurrected from the dead, got him who was made perfect through suffering, can do it with me also. And then the last kicker in that one, and this is free, so I can't put that on the time, made conformable unto his death. Do I want to die to Doug Gibney so much that that grace is all that prevails in my life? Amen. That trust is all that, because I'll tell you what, again, I take pride in the fact I'm a New York Irishman. We're either crying or we're fighting. I want to do that. I want to make this right. I want to get this settled. I'm gonna stand up for you. I just want to be made like him. Do I really, though? I want to be made conformable. So I'll end with this. Robin, you did say one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Proverbs. Proverbs 3. I can't tell you how many times. I used to write a card, and all I said, may the Lord richly bless you this day and every day. Love, Doug. So one time she saw that, and she put the card, took it away, put another one down, said, write something else. I said, what are you talking? She goes, you write that every birthday card. You write that every anniversary card. You write that on everything. Write something else. Well, then all of us write this one. But I want us to hear this. How can I know that grace that Paul was asking Philemon to show to Onesimus? How can I trust in a God that I can't see and know? How can I do that? It's dying to me. And that's what Proverbs 3, if you're there, states. And we will, for now, end with that one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's an imperative. This is the psalmist. Who went and committed adultery. This is a man, David, who killed the woman's husband by putting him into battle. This is a man that messed up as much as every one of us. And he's writing to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Do you think he might have gotten a little peek at God's grace at this point? Do you think that this man truly trusted God at this point now in his life, where most of us, if we did what he did, we know we deserve eternal separation. But here he is giving us an exhortation to grace and to trust in just the ways that you really like and are good at. Verse 6. What one was that? That was Second Opinions, verse 6. In some of your ways, in a few of your ways, in the ones that you deem okay, in all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? I beg you, because I'm going to do what in all my ways. What ways? My good ways, my bad ways, my in-between ways, my doing this, doing that. What does that incorporate? But God is saying, Doug, in all your ways, acknowledge me. And I'll direct your path. Where are we going? None of us know on the world scene right now, do we? I'm going to heaven. Have I told you that? It's been trying to get robbed since Dee died. But I'm going to heaven. Because that's the only way I'm going to be with my daughter. It's the only way that you and I are going to celebrate with Bill. It's the only way that any one of us are going to see those loved ones again. If we acknowledge him in all of our ways and let him direct my... Yeah, but God, I want to be angry right now. That's a path. And you can choose to walk it. Or God, I don't want to do this. You can choose not to do it. Point in case. Want to come over for a Spam sandwich today?
No.
No. He chose that. I want to walk in a Spam sandwich today. But you, we choose every day. Choose what we're hearing today. Choose his grace. Choose his trust. Choose to it's going to be a fight. The flesh battles against the spirit. The spirit battles against the flesh so that we can't do the things that we want to do. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I don't want to do, I'm doing those. I can't do what I'm really thinking up. It's a choice. And if we make the right choice to lean on him, not what I'm thinking, not seeing the outcome a year before, not demanding that people do this certain thing or else, God then will direct our paths. And in order to direct our paths, I'll end with this, you gotta move your feet. Yeah? But if I stand and I don't trust and I don't allow the grace of God that dwells in me to take me over, that path could go in the wrong direction. How do I do this? I started it with, we spend time with an individual. We spend time with God. We pray like Paul did, consistently, constantly, over and over with prayer and thanksgiving, without the anxiousness that the world puts on us of the outcome. How many of us are worried on our life? We could make lists, I'll bet, of the things that were going to happen and how many of them really happened. I can't go another step. And here you are today. You've said it. I've said it. We need to get to the living water. We need to hear his word. We need to pray it, believe it, act as if it's yay and amen. And I'll end with D.L. Moody. I read a statement that he made when I had that thought. Just God, I got to get to know you. Let the living water give our lives a start. Isn't that the word that we do? D.L. Moody said, we are leaky vessels. And he didn't say that of himself. That's what the Word of God said. We're cracked pots. We kid about that, right? But we're leaky vessels. And it says, we are leaky vessels, and we must keep under the fountain, always to keep full. Without such, we lose much peace and joy and trust in the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. Get under the fountain. Get a drink with a fire hose today. Just let them bathe you in it. Start to find that example this week that you're not trusting in, that you and I aren't applying God's grace in just that one, and just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Let me see. Help me to walk in that. Here's where I want to go. Here's where you want to go. Make that choice. It's that simple, and I'll try along with you, and then maybe we'll have just a show and tell in a week or two, and see how'd that work for you? How'd that come out? Because his plans for you and I are good, not of evil, with an expected end. Every one of us, he knows the outcome, where we're going to be, what it's going to look like, when it is. Wow, what a God. Let's stand and worship him.